football on Off the Ball.
There was an ad for 4 tickets to the final at a cost of $2.3 million each. $2.3 million what? Each for a ticket to the final, yeah.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball, GAA.
Folks, hello and welcome to tonight's Late Night League of Ireland with myself, Shane Keegan, and Mr. Barry Baz Murphy. Barry, how are you keeping?
Not too bad, Shane. How's things?
All good, all good. I'll give a quick rundown of the scores, Barry, before we get straight into the meaty stuff. Really exciting night across the League of Ireland, across both divisions. I think we had 14 goals in the Premier Division and 14 goals in the First Division. So lots of really good talking points. Premier Division, we had a big win for Drogheda United, 1-0 victory at home to Derry City. Equally a big win for Bohemians, badly needed, given their current run of form, 3-1 victory away to Dundalk, a game that seemed to swing on a red card. Shamrock Rovers going west over to Galway and picking up a comprehensive 3-1 win over there. The only Premier Division stalemate of the night was Shelburne 0, Sligo Rovers 0. And again, another comprehensive win, I suppose, with St. Pat's, who did, of course, go 1-0 down but roared back to win their game against Waterford 4-1. In the First Division, our only other stalemate of the night, Athlone Town at home to Tralee United, was a nil-all draw. Bray Wanderers with a walloping 5-1 win over Cove Ramblers in the hunt for the promotion playoff spots. Cork City, a badly needed win, quelling the discontent down at Turner's Cross with a 3-1 win over their title contenders, I suppose it's fair to call them, in UCD. Finn Harps with a late show, a 1-0 win, picking up a goal in the 94th minute at home to Kerry. And a big win for Longford Town, who all of a sudden are looking like playoff contenders. A 2-1 win away to Wexford, a result they will be absolutely delighted with. So much going on, very hard to know where to start. The agenda will be set by yourselves as the callers. I see a couple of requests in already. Let me just touch base with Barr first and see where his eyes were tonight.
Yeah, Shane, I chose the wrong one. I was all eyes on Talca Park, unfortunately. But
it's always the way, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? And I stuck with it as well. I wanted to flick around and see the goals, but I was expecting goals in Talca Park and they just never came. And to be fair, as nil-alls go, it was actually quite entertaining, but I think hugely frustrating as well, Shane. Chelsea played some good stuff up until the final third, but yeah, but just so blunt up top. Wood was excellent. He's a joy to watch every week, but he was the only one really doing anything in the game, trying to break that Sligo defence down. And you just look at the way Sligo set up and you're thinking, John Martin on your own up again. Are we going to see the same stuff we see week in, week out at Talca Park? An isolated centre forward, and we just saw that. He had some good chances, and it took really until Ali Coote came on after about 20 minutes. Jack Henry Francis came off injured, and Coote had two great chances in the first kind of 2 minutes of being on, but just so hard to break Sligo down. And McHugh and Manus just in that two in front of the back four, and it just looked like Shells needed to take Lunny off. I thought they kind of played with Lunny and Kerr in the middle as well, and it just felt like he needed to go to a 4-4-2, set up the way to play away from home and try and get goals that way. They just didn't do it. Meekison had a goal disallowed in the second half as well, and you're thinking, Jesus, here we go again. It's slow. Somebody's going to nick one after all the possession. I think it was 68% possession for Shells, 15 corners, and you know, he made a few saves, a few decent saves, Sergeant, but when you're looking back at it, you're going, they were comfortable. They were from good areas that Sligo were defending, just defending spaces. They never really broke them down. You're just thinking, you see Sean Boyd warm up on the sideline, you're thinking, great, he's going to come on with Martin up top. We're going to get two up top. But it was one isolated striker for another, and they just couldn't break it down. And ultimately, Sligo deserved the point in the end.
Yeah, and look, I suppose from the encouraging side of thing, it's their first clean sheet in seven, Baz. So it is, surprise, surprise, who was their last clean sheet against? It was against Sligo Rovers. So they've gone seven games in between. So look, that was badly needed to restore some sort of defensive confidence. But a pity for them that they, on the one night they do get it right defensively, that they weren't able to offer something a little bit more from the attacking threat by the sounds of things. It's hard to get that balance right for them, clearly.
Yeah, it is. It's just when you look at the away form and the away performances, it's night and day to when they come back to Talca Park, when the onus is on them to go and get after teams. You'd nearly love to see them set up in the way they played against Bowes, the kind of counter-attacking thing at home, just to try and force a result. Like, still haven't got a win at home. It's an incredible run, really. But tonight, you, like, if they get that late winner, you think, listen, the performance was there, just the goals weren't there. And
on me, Maz, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me all right?
Not sure if everybody else can still hear me, but we'll give it a try here because our guests are lining up. So I'm going to try and get one or two of you guys in. I'll start with Anthony, who was the first person I saw logging in as a potential speaker. Can you hear me, Anthony?
I can, Shane. How are you, Shane? How are you, Barry?
Hey, Anthony.
Can you hear me, Anthony?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me, brother?
Hello.
I can hear you, Anthony. How's
you hear me, Baz?
Yep, we can hear you, Shane. Can you hear us?
Now where we are, the Gremlins kicking in, I wonder. Simon, back in base, let me know if you can still hear me talking on WhatsApp. Yeah, you're the only one that I can hear. Okay, well, we'll try another one. I'm not sure what's up with Anthony. I see an old friend of mine there, Ed Saul, as well. Wait, let's see if I can get Ed in and we could have a chat about Galway and Shamrock Rovers, possibly. Ed, can you hear me? No.
Hello.
Anthony, Ed, Baz.
Yeah, Shane, we can hear you. Can you
see you coming up as a speaker there now? Ed, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Shane. How are you doing?
His headset's not working.
Keep trying. Keep hitting the approve button here until somebody's able to speak to me. Where do we try Marty? Marty, can you hear me?
You're not in the point.
I can hear you, Shane. Can you hear me? Hello?
Ah, Stephen is now telling me everybody can hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Now, if you take the reins there, so I'll show up and see if I log myself out and back in.
Shane's having a nightmare.
Yeah, we'll go back to Anthony. Anthony, do I have to ask what you were watching tonight?
Yeah, I was watching Bowes. I wasn't down there. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll have it like Sky Sports and all the fans will be on together. Would that be a bit of crack, Baz? What do you think?
Yeah, we'll get on.
we get Wayne Rooney and Paul Scholes and Carragher on as well.
It's a big win up in Oriel.
Yeah, I tell you what, it wasn't a great first half at all. Dundalk were in second gear and they went ahead. He got a great goal. Your man Dervin scored an absolute screamer outside of the boot, edge of the box. Cainbourne came out. Your man of Ruby, like, has anyone else seen what I'm seeing with him? He's definitely the best striker in the league at the minute. Like, even when they were down to 10 men and balls were dropping off in the last 10, 15 minutes, he was dropping into the middle, getting the ball, going on the half turn, dropping the shoulder and spraying balls out wide. And the balls lads didn't know what they were up against. And like, the only difficulty was that is he wasn't in the box then to receive the ball. Well, he is different gravy altogether. He really impressed me all season. Like, if a team needs to go and challenge Shamrock Rovers for the league this year, they need to go out and get him in the window. Like, but that, like, leaving that aside, let's talk about the first half. Bowes were terrible. They really struggled to get into the game. They were second to every ball. What I seen was, they kind of Dundalk had a box midfield. They set the traps. They let Hickey have the ball. Cian Bourne came in centre half. He was good tonight, but they closed him down and they let Hickey have the ball, which I think is a problem now for Bowes because his distribution isn't good enough. Teams are noticing that now. Dundalk's done their box midfield, so he had to go long. So I'd say all of Hickey's balls were into Whelan's feet, who was isolated on his own. The poor chap hadn't got an out ball then because the midfield was congested and Dundalk just broke. They just closed down. But as that always happens then in the second half, Bowes made a couple of changes, like bringing Diallo and Power on is huge. Like, you're talking about percentages in this game in every single league there tonight, or in every single game there tonight, and you're seeing the likes of the likes of Diallo and Power coming on at half time there, it makes a huge difference to a team when you have players that can just give you that extra 1% and 2%. And that's what happened. Paul's got in and they just look like they're supposed to look every week with the talent that they have. They just look like they meant it. Simple stuff around the box. The clearances were falling to the Bowes players because they had two up front when they brought James Taylor on as well. Rossi got us back in the game, and then Dundalk were all over the place. They got 4 or 5 yellow cards. They were trying to stop the game. It wasn't. It's not what you associate Dundalk with this year. They're not that sort of team. They're a nice team that are very direct and they look good. But just for that period, that 20-minute period after Bowes got the equaliser, just threw the game up. And yeah, so from a Dundalk perspective, that's what killed them. It was like they were given, without playing at their full potential, they were 1-0 upper, and then all of a sudden they were 2-1 down. They got the penalty, so basically Tierney turned on. He played a quick 1-2. We ran in behind. He left Cornwall for dead. Cornwall puts out his hand. The usual looks very harsh in the grey scheme of things, but it is the rules. If it was against me, I'd be very disappointed, because literally he just runs off him. Cornwall puts one hand out, puts it. He does look like he pushes him, but I'd say 6 out of 10 times that the referee waves the game on because the ball's in the goalkeeper's hands. But this time he gets it. He probably does him a favour in the sense as he sends him straight off because he was already booked. So if he gives him two yellow cards, if he's wrong on the decision, it'll get overturned. Do you know what I mean? So he sends him straight off because he's the last man, but he probably does him a favour in that sense because he's going off the pitch either way. After that, then Bowes dropped in. It wasn't as comfortable as the scoreline suggests. There was two or three, like I said about Rubio coming back in the middle and trying to spray the ball around, and Bowes were really on the back foot, and then he just broke away and got the goal. But I suppose the real talking point, Baz, for me was that when Diallo came on and sat in there in the six and released Tierney and Devoy up to the areas of the pitch where we want to see them, Bowes were a different team. A completely different thing.
It's funny how the cover at the ground, Diallo can cover in there when he's sitting beside Devoy as well. Like it's almost like having two sixes in there. He just plays in these such a pivotal role when he comes on. He was excellent the last game he played as well.
Wasn't he?
It's funny, like going away from home. Set up slightly different. Just looking at, I haven't seen the game, but just looking at the formations as well, it looks like they set up slightly different as well. Like coming home against Stroud now on Friday, what way do you see them setting up?
I hope they give them that width, Barry. I hope that's not that sort of narrow and let fullbacks go on, because he played Todd at fullback today. Now, I'm a huge admirer of Todd. I think he's one of the best signings we've had since Georgie Kelly. And I'm not being smart when I say that, but this sort of thing of letting the fullbacks go on and into the space, the teams are set when you're doing that, and they know you're going to do that. So I think we're better off having the one up top with the wide players to pull the space out and move the ball quickly. Like half of that is not down to formations or the way you set up. It's down to your speed of play and if you're making the right decision, and if you're to paraphrase Roy Keane, if you're brave enough when you're on the ball to make a mistake. Do you know that sort of way, and get the players turned and not just be passive? Because in the first half tonight, without criticising Bowes, because they weren't doing the wrong thing, but they were passive. Like Mornham was getting in and he was ahead of the midfield for Dundalk, and he's cutting back in and he's looking for Devoy with two players on him. Like we're never gonna get the full potential out of the attacking players we have if we're not stretching teams and trying stuff and Bruno Fernandez and it to for want of a better word, like just trying stuff. But we have the players to do that. So like I think what's happening now is we're going to see, and this hasn't happened in a long time, but what we might see looking at tonight's results, we might see a little bit of a sort of a breakaway. So it might be like a Darien Shell trying to catch the top three now.
Anthony, can I ask, was Colin Whelan was on the pitch when James Taylor got the penalty, was he?
Yes. So what happened there was, I got three text messages about that. So what happened there was, apparently Colley wasn't happy, right? Now, I didn't see that, but two of the lads did. Straight away when James Taylor scored, Colley went over and celebrated with him, right? So for what I can say is, Colley Whelan's been brilliant the last three games, right? It's been the best he's been. I spoke to him last week after I was talking to you, I was still in Dalymount, and he was still hanging around. And I just said to him, look, your performances are great. His link play is unbelievable at the minute. Like it's going from one level to another, because he has the runners, what we spoke about last week, he has the runners in behind. But from what I seen was, that's just Colin Whelan. It was selflessness, and he gave the pen over to Douglas James Taylor, and he was over celebrating with him when we scored. So if that doesn't show you the character of the guy, and if he's a Bohemians player and he's true to wear the shirt, well, that's the you can't explain any more than that.
Yeah. No, fair point. Anthony, fair play for jumping on. We'll get to one of the rest of the boys. Thanks a million for getting started.
Yes, Anthony. Go ahead. Thanks.
Brilliant stuff. Ed, are you still floating in the background there, Ed?
I am, Shane. I'm glad you sorted out your technical difficulties.
I was talking to the whole world and thinking no one could hear me, and you're all just telling me to shut up in reality. Come here, Ed. Super result. The only bit I saw of it was Michael Noonan's cracking goal to get things going for you. Talk to me about the game in general. Were you at it, or were you watching it on?
Yeah, I'm just on the way home here with the boys. On the way home, happy hoops at the moment. I think Galway must absolutely hate the sight of Shamrock Rovers. I believe that's
unbelievable.
43 games. That's outrageous. And Galway are such a tough nut to crack, and how they haven't beaten us over 43 games is bizarre. But tonight we came out of the traps, scored a great goal, and you know, in fairness to Galway, they threw everything at us for about 15 minutes, but without actually, you know, testing McGinty. Testing McGinty, and once we weathered that storm, we went up the other end and made it 2-0. But second half, you're thinking, right, just keep it tight for 10 minutes, and they score straight away. A great goal from a corner, and you're thinking, oh, here we go again. They done it against Pats last week, but I think we got control of the football. We calmed things down. We got plenty of possession. And we weathered that little storm, and Saba Wally got a great goal to kill it off.
Brilliant, yeah. It was important to respond. Like, at home, Galway at home, scoring so early in the second half. Like, really important that you didn't allow them to get a foothold from there and build a bit of momentum, because, you know, the crowd, getting the crowd behind them and all of that, it would have been very, very easy for Galway to go on and get a second and pull something out of it. Who were the most instrumental players for Rovers in that performance tonight, Ed?
I would say, looking right from the back, Ed McGinty, of course, made some crucial blocks. Enda Stevens is just getting better week by week. He was outstanding. But star of the show, Saba Wally again. Whatever St. Mirren want for him, I hope Ronan Finn is over there doing the deal. And he has to get signed. He's been unbelievable, no matter what position he plays in.
I was going to say, he's absolutely flying it for you, and then flying it for you, and seems to be equally adept on the right of the three or the right of the midfield four.
Yeah, it seems that, look, I think, you know, we're all concerned with Pico going to the World Cup, what we're going to be like, but Enda Stevens has came in, Saba Wally can play there, you know, Cordy O'Sullivan will come back. I think we'd be fine. We haven't had Pico for the last two games. Don't get me wrong, he's a massive loss, but we look like we'd be okay.
Did Lee play as the middle one of the three then?
Yeah, Lee played the middle,
Lee played in the middle, yeah, and Enda was one side, and Dan Cleary was the other, and Saba Wally was right wing back, and Adam Brennan left wing back.
Look, obviously, if Pico is that good of a player, that obviously is going to be a massive loss, but if anybody can fucking cope with it squad depth-wise, I mean, that three, Dan Cleary, Lee Grace and Stephen, sure. You'll do well, Danny, if there's any major weakness there. Like,
No, they're solid. They're really, so much experience. And I think that's what got us through the little stormy period after Galway scored. You had Jack just getting on the ball, Matt Healy getting on the ball, calming things down, and we got a lot of possession, and it limited the Galway to long throws and stuff like that. They didn't actually, you know, have any clear-cut chances, and as I said, we were able to show our experience there, and we got a brilliant third goal, an absolutely brilliant. The turn by Victor in the middle of the park, watch it, Shane, outrageous. Does a half turn, leaves two players for dead, and we go on the counter-attack and we score a great goal.
Did you see any of this one,
Bats? I just saw a couple of the goals, but I know the league had some of Victor's good moments over the last couple of weeks, and I'm sure that's one to add to it today. Well, it's just, Rovers are just so fluid. Like, when you talk about that three at the back, and Shabawale's playing a wing-back tonight, and see, you're effectively attacking with 10 players, and you just leave Lee Grace back there or Dan Cleary, and they're so interchangeable that the Enda Stevens pushes forward on one side and he ends up in the box, and on the other side it's Dan Cleary, and it's just whatever. Enda Stevens at the back, they're just so unpredictable in their attacks that you can't defend against it. You look at what they did to Galway home and how other teams have gone to Galway and really struggled, and then you look at the next couple of fixtures, Dundalk away and Sligo home, and you think that's possibly another 6 points going into Pico heading away to the World Cup again. Then, and you think they're in a great position going into that period of games where they traditionally come good anyway. So, it's all to do for the rest of them. You know, that's a good win tonight, but it's all to do for the rest of them to catch up.
Ed, you're gonna have to try and give me some kind of a reason here as to why we don't just hand you the league title now.
Sorry, Shane, I lost you there. What did you say?
I said you're going to have to give me some kind of a reason as to why we don't just give you the league title now.
One of the fans actually started messing tonight, singing, "We're going to win the league." I said, "Lad, come on, it's a bit early for that now. We'll sing that in August."
it's hard to see where the faults are. People will say European competition, maybe might take away now yourselves and all that, but I know.
We'll keep plugging away, Shane. You know, there'll be no.
You won't get carried away. Fair play to you. Ed, thanks a million for jumping on. Chat to you later, buddy.
No, not at all.
Good luck. Marty, how are
See you guys. Here? Well done. Keep up the good work. Well done.
Great stuff. We've had two fellas on so far that have been in very good form. So it's time to get a fella on who's not in good form, I'd imagine. It's far more entertaining hearing that to give out whinge. Marty, how's life?
Terrible, Shane.
We're just leaving it at that time.
That's more like it. That's more like it. Go on. We're here to hear your sob story. I'll be honest, I could see that one coming. I was doing a bit in relation to looking at preview, and I kind of thought draw no bet looked a great result to me, so it did, and that's how it played out. Were you hard done by, or were you second best, or give us the narrative around it?
Well, firstly, it's nice to hear that you finally got a bet right, Shane. that it's at our expense, you know. No, we weren't hard done by. We were terrible. We set up with a false nine, James Clark, away to a team, Drogheda, that has conceded a bucket load of goals. So we played with no striker for till about the 70th minute. And despite we were probably the better team for probably up to 60 minutes. And I think if we had a striker on, we probably would have won. But it's a shambles of a formation selection. Overcomplicated tactics, another new formation, another new way of playing. And it didn't work, and here we are, like.
Yeah, I assume the fan base wouldn't have been too happy with that one. I mean, Drogheda just seemed to have a bit of a hoodoo there, so they do. I mean, was there any pluses from tonight? Any decent performances, or was it just all doom and gloom?
It's fair. Like, I'm not going to talk about the players. I think they are trying, but again, as I said, it's another new way of playing. Like, I don't even know what it was. It looked like a 4-5-1 with a false nine. I've never seen that before. So
yeah,
I just don't know what to say here. Like, we've played, right, 16 games now. We 4 wins. Half the season's already gone, and we've only a 25% win percentage. last year we finished with 50%. So it's just going awfully wrong, and it's a disaster, really. A disaster of a season. You know?
If you want to be really bleak about Bass, they are currently 3 points off the relegation playoff spot. That's hard to believe, given given the expectations we had from at the start of the year, Bass, isn't it?
It really is, especially when you look at that result against Rovers up in Celtic Park as well. You think they've turned a corner here. Massive win against Shells the week before. And then, you know, you get a decent enough result against Bowes. And then you throw that Galway result in. And then tonight you think they're right back where they were. And like, I've seen Clark play that false nine before for Bowes against Rovers. And he's done really well in that position. But not away from home in Weavers Park or Sullivan Land Park, whatever you call it, and you're trying to go and get a result, go and get a win, get after them, especially after seeing the way Drogheda were on Monday night. They were awful on Monday night against Rovers. I thought this is a great time to go and get them, get a result against them. But and you look at the players, it's 9 or 10 of the same team that started on Monday, started again tonight. So it's a chance to get after Drogheda at home, and just to come away with that result is really poor. Like,
yeah, no, 100%. I mean, what at risk of you stating the obvious here, Marty, what needs to change?
I don't want to say it, but like, if I was the chairman now, I'd be changing the manager. Like, it's just totally not good enough. Last year we finished second with mostly Higgins' team. He's made so many changes. He's probably made 25, 30 transfers to make it his team, and it's worse in every way. I do like stats, as I said before. Like, I always match the Derry managers against each other, and you'll remember lads like Declan Devine, Shane, when you were managing, and yeah. Kenny Shield, and like, he's below them now in performance. I think he's attacking wise he's below Kenny Shields, and defensively, like, goals conceded per game, goals scored per game, he's below Declan Devine. So them guys hadn't got a pot to piss in, excuse me French. He's been back to the hilt, and we're now playing like a Derry's mid-2000s team. So it's been a disaster, really, an absolute disaster. Look, he did qualify us for Europe. We were also very hard done by in the Cup last year. Maybe we want to give him the chance to play in the Cup and play in Europe. But if the league form keeps going the way it is, like, I don't know. You know?
Yeah. And just to build on Barry's point there, because he makes a good point. You had that bad run where he went 7 without a win. And then you go to Shelburne, you beat them 2-1. You beat Shamrock Rovers 1-0 at home. Like, where has that bit of momentum, how has that bit of momentum that was looked like it was built there, how has that dissipated so quickly?
That's what, like, I was so annoyed after Galway, because we looked like we turned the corner, you know, against Shamrock Rovers. We came out, we played on the front foot, got in their face, you know, hard work, running. But then, like, if you fast forward to the Galway game on Monday, we were playing the back five home to Galway. I got to go, lads. My battery's on 1%, but it's a disaster, you know.
No, listen, Marty, thank you for jumping on. Appreciate it.
How are you guys? Have a good one.
Bye-bye. Talk to you again. Well, we'll stick on the team of chatting people who aren't happy with their team's performances, and we'll welcome Mr. Shane Kennedy to tonight's show, who I'd imagine is another fella who's going to be spitting fire. Shane, what did you make of that tonight? You got the only stalemate in the league.
Yeah, sure. I was listening at the start there, and Baz was giving a spiel before it cut off, so I wouldn't mind hearing what he has to say first, just so I'm not ranting, and
I think we're probably along the same line, Shane. Like, I just felt they were tooting us up top. I think he was begging for a second centre forward to come on, and I'd probably go to 4-4-2. It just looked like there was no need for Lunny in there. Didn't think Shells or Sligo really offered anything to lead him on and keep that defensive position. I think, like, they were good for two-thirds of the pitch, and then final third, the only one that had any bit of kind of quality about him was Ward. I thought he was excellent again, and the only one that could really unlock them. But Sligo defended well, but I said, like, they defended well in spaces, didn't have to wasn't last-ditch stuff, you know what I mean? Sargent made a few saves, but bar that, you're looking at the substitutions, you see Boyd, you coming on, you think it's going to go two up top, and he takes Martin on from it. It's just frustrating watching it, even though it was a good game for a nil all.
Yeah, I think on the John Marin thing, I know he's on four yellows. I thought he played a small bit within himself. So if he gets booked, he misses Pats next week. He doesn't really have the points on the board to really think like that, but I think that's probably the reason why that happened. I thought in the first half, lads, we were absolutely brilliant. I was like, right, finally we have a team on the ropes. Like, we obviously no set pieces, but we were moving, so I got around and I was like, right, tired him out second half, keep going. And for some bizarre reason, he changes a 5-3-2 to a 5 box midfield and it just completely killed him in the second half. I was like, what are we doing? Like, I was like, why did we do this? Like, first half we were brilliant. All right, we didn't have that put an edge, but I thought, right, finally we're going to get a weaker team and we're going to keep it tight at half time, no set pieces, and then kill them off in the second half. And he just changed it to a box midfield, and the second half was diabolical. I was saying, Charles, there, we put out, we had a dominant but unlucky display, which makes it sound like we battered Sligo. For one half, we did. Second half, it was nearly a 50-50 game, we thought. Like,
yeah, lucky not to lose it in the end as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Benham had a great chance.
And Shane, when he changed shape, did he change shape by changing personnel, or was it just the same personnel but just tweaked their positioning, or what led to the change of shape, I suppose?
He just changed shape. He moved. He had Ali Kew in the right centre in the first half, and then in the second half he played with two tens, H on the right and Ali on the left, and Harry Wood couldn't win the game. He barely touched the ball. They don't leave a little square, where in the first half Harry was kind of in the 10, like similar to what Graham Wood was, floating around a little bit. JJ was picking up the ball in the 6, like Matt Healy, it was working perfect. Like, we're playing well, like we really are playing well, but I think Joey's decisions are just shambolic. And it sounds extreme, but similar to what Marty said, the budget we have and the money we're spending, like Will Jarvis was doing okay for me. Taking him off and bringing on Lundgren, I said it last week, was it here? It was like for like. It was like, that didn't change anything. Like, Will Jarvis, I think it was Drogheda, I think I said it. Will Jarvis was feeling okay. If you're going to bring on Lundgren, at least even maybe put Jarvis up and go 4-3-3 or something, I don't know. Look, our attendance was shocking tonight as well. We only had 3,500 plus 200 Sligo fans, I'd say. So yeah, like you're winning with 9 games at home and we haven't won a match.
Is it
8, I think, at a minimum. Like, I don't know. I seen the table last week. We played 2 at home against Drogheda, and that was our best performance of the season. And then the set piece gets them back in the game. But like, other than that, we've been pretty well at home.
Yeah, I'm looking at it here. You're on the ball. I'm looking at it here, scrolling down through the results. It is... My God. I'm trying to find your last home win.
We have won a home game this season, Shane.
Okay, that's why I can't find your last home win.
What's the massive difference between them at home and going away? Like, I thought you got them... Tactically, they were set up well against Bowes in the first half. Got it right. Probably second half. Probably a bit slow in decision-making and stuff like that. But I thought... Like, it looks so different away from home. What is it?
Well, there's less pressure on you to go out with the ball. But the only game I can think we didn't really do well against was Bowes at home. It was the last of the 4 games in 10 days. But obviously, you can set up to just play on the counter. I think I heard you saying about sitting up to play on the counter, but Sligo never had that enthusiasm to go out like a Dundalk did. So there was no chance of playing on the counter tonight. So I'd say it's just the easier to keep it compact. The pitches are a bit smaller, which kind of suits us because there's no pace in the team. There's not an ounce of pace by Jarvis, but Jarvis is picking the ball up either in his own half or just about in their half. So he's too deep by the time he gets the ball. Other than that, we have no pace at all. Evan Caffrey comes off the pitch, and I thought he was our best player. I don't know. Again, I don't know why he changed that. I'm not really too sure. I know he was booked, but yeah, I just think the pitches are smaller, which helps us kind of keep it compact, and we've got a few set pieces, and then Dickie's goal away to Sligo was it. I mean, how many goals has Dan O'Kelly scored with his left foot from 20 odd yards out, like, you know?
Yeah, you won't like to hear that, but you're probably right. Is it a bit mad then, Shane, to say potentially away to Pats is the kind of game that might suit you?
Yeah, but it's kind of like you need to win at home, lads. Like, you can't, I don't really care. I'd rather lose away and win at home, keep the fans coming in. There's 3,500 there tonight. Like, that's shambolic. Like, I know everyone's attendance has dropped off, but yeah, to answer the question, it probably is. We'll keep it tight and we might nick a 1-0 or a whatever. And it's grand. I think Sam Bowen as well. You're looking at Shamrock Rovers at the minute, like, and they have Subawali playing right centre half. I think Cleary does it as well. Sam Bowen didn't cross the halfway line tonight, pass. Like, that's mental. Like, you know what I mean? And it's not his game. So he's like having two Paddy Barretts. He doesn't want to cross the halfway line. And it didn't work the last time I think he played there. It just didn't work. Like, but he's a centre half playing right centre half who can't run. God love the fella. Like, he can't move. Like.
To be fair to him, in the first half, him and Paddy Barrett's distribution was quite good. They were slinging it out to the ward as well. Like, it worked. They pinned Sligo back, but just from then on, they just couldn't break them down, really.
Yeah, well, Shane, listen, hopefully getting out of Tolka is just what you need, and you hope you get an improved performance on Friday night. I mean, that, you know, as I say, Pats are absolutely flying, but maybe that's exactly what you need to be away from home against the team that are going to try and take a front foot approach against you.
Well, yeah, there's serious pressure on that Pats game now, because when you're doing so well away from home, if you lose that game, it puts pressure because you're going to fall in behind. But yeah, I don't. It's gone to the stage now. I don't really care about away, because the 500 of us that go to Pats are always going to come. But you got to think of the bigger picture. Like, and 3,500 tonight is a big worry. Like, but look, I think what Matty was saying there about the lads that were let go with lesser results, I don't think those managers were on as big as contracts as what the lads are on now. So it's going to be pretty hard to get rid of them. I don't know what the investment is there, but I said it a few weeks ago. He wouldn't be for me. I don't like saying that because I see faces around the club, but you have to just put your club first. Like, you know, when these people are gone, those fans are still going to be here. Like, so as harsh as it is, that's just how we feel at the minute. Like,
that's fair enough. Shane, fair play for jumping on.
Before I go, I always have one thing to say, and I must say, I think everyone in the league probably wishes Pico the best of luck and hope that he doesn't be injured, and I'm sure he'll rest up. And I think there's no one in the league would want him to miss the World Cup. I think he kind of fully deserves to be there, and if it's at the expense of Rovers, then look, as long as he gets there for the league and himself, he absolutely deserves it. So hopefully he's doing all right.
100% would agree with you more. Fair play, Shane.
Cheers, lad.
Yes, right, we'll keep moving because they're queuing up, which is a great complaint. Toby has been very, very patient, and it gives me an opportunity to give a couple of my own views, because that's the game I was watching tonight, which was Pats and Waterford. Toby, I'm pretty sure, if I remember, is a Waterford fan. Can you hear me, Toby?
I can say, well, Barry, how are you?
Good. Toby, go on. What did you make it again? Were you watching it? Were you watching it on TV, or were you at it?
I was watching it on TV.
Go on. Tell me what you made of it yourself before I give you a bit of input myself.
I thought, honestly, we started well in a way. Like, we started well. Like, I know Pat started off, like, immediately. You know, they took off him straight when the ball was kicked. But when we gave that ball to, like, Ahmed, it just came out of nowhere. And it was just kind of started something that we could have, like, done, which we took advantage of with the corner kick. And then I thought we defended. Pats were, like, pulling the pressure all the first half. I thought we defended well. And we just need to, the defence is good. We just need to stop giving away City penalties, City stuff. Like, it's all City these days. Like, and that's what took the momentum out of the game, I think, that penalty.
Yeah, fair enough. No, listen, I'm glad to hear that you didn't just come on and which you've been in the position you are, just rubbish the performance. I thought you were good tonight, Toby. I thought you were good tonight. I know that might sound a mad thing to say when you've been beaten 4-1, but I think for the new manager, he has evidence there that he, despite the scoreline, I think he has evidence there that he can go in and they'll do a video analysis session on whatever Sunday morning or whatever it is. And he'll be able to say to the lads, he'll have plenty of clips to be able to show them. I thought Noonan was very, very good. I thought Tommy Lonergan was very, very good. I'd be interested to know, have you seen much of the Canadian boy that came on late in the game for you? Because he only got about 20 minutes, but he looked like a serious player. He caused Pats a lot of problems. Faroya, is it?
Yeah, Faroya, yeah. Look, he did cause problems. He was fast out to the wind. And it was the same case against Dundalk when he came on. He caused that Dundalk defence some problems last Monday. And he caused kind of Pat's problems tonight. I think, judging by what the last few games, he should get started. Like, maybe not the whole 90, but let's say, but maybe at least 60 or 70 minutes. Just see how he plays in like a game with the first half and everything.
Yeah. I've seen enough to think that he should have a chance. But if you go back, Toby, you'll remember it. I'm trying to remember, you might correct me. Was the score 2-1 or 3-1 when Heaney had the chance? I mean, that's... He has to be scoring that. That's a massive, massive chance for him. And if he puts that away, it's potentially a very, very different game. But obviously he doesn't, and that allowed Pats to kick on from there and make it look very comfortable.
Look, Heaney should have really converted it to 3-1 because it would have been 3-2 and it would be back in the game. Would we have had momentum? We would have had a bit of momentum, but I think Pats would have just done enough in that second half, because Pats in that second half, Stevie Kenny must have spoke to his players to say, just go on out, because they freaking took off in that second half.
No, they did, surely. Barry, it's we've probably been waiting a while for, not that he was poor, but we've probably been waiting a while for Elbazetti to hit the levels that we knew he was capable of from a couple of seasons ago. He was excellent last week. He was outstanding again tonight. 2 goals, one of which was an absolute cracker. The most unselfish pass you will ever see, to give the ball to Edmondson for his tap in, because for all the world it was Elbazetti's hat trick. All he needed to
do
was
start on a hat trick.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it, but fair play to him. And all that said, Ian Morris still gets the man of the match award to Keane Levy. So that tells you all you need to know about Keane Levy's performance. It's they're motoring. Pats are motoring. They're still dropping those silly little draws here and there that stop them build proper momentum. But the likes of Elbazetti, Levy, Edmondson, obviously Forrest are very, very strong tonight. They're getting some serious performances, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, and they'll be frustrated with the last couple of results as well. The two draws kind of knocks the momentum out of it. But like, you look at Keane Levy, he's hit a serious stride. I remember hearing an interview with him a couple of weeks ago and talking about Steve and telling him to get more goals. He's got to get forward, he's got to get shots off. He's added so much to his game. He always had that running power, and I think I heard tonight he's the most fouled player in the league as well, and got absolutely smashed upended at the edge of the box in the first half, and he's just absolute quality. But Elbazetti, they need an Elbazetti firing. They need Romal Palmer firing. It's an easy thing to say, but when those, I said it before, when you've got the Pats have their best 11 on the pitch, they've got a great chance to close that gap to Rovers. And yeah, the two finishes from Elbazetti were, it's a great finish for the first one after a mistake. It's pretty poor defending from Houston at the back post. But the second one is an unbelievable finish. You can see the kind of angle opening up for him, but he's got so much to do there and just has the quality to go and do. And as you said, it's so unselfish to give that ball away, because the hat trick is right in front of him. To lay it off and let someone else get the goal was brilliant. But yeah, they just need to continue on now. Pats, another big game now on Friday to look forward to, and you get a win there and suddenly you get that momentum back.
Yeah, from your own point of view, Toby, it's a huge weekend for you next weekend. Obviously that the game that was rained off with the downpour a few weeks, you've got that on the Monday night at home to Drogheda. So it's home to Derry on Friday, followed by home to Drogheda on Monday. I mean, if Coughlin is going to have any sort of chance of getting out of this, you need to be back-to-back home games. You need to be picking up a minimum of 4 points there, really, don't you?
Six is kind of the thing, really, because the way this season's really gone. Because six is just the main reason why we need to pick up. We can't be picking up a point every time. We can't be relying on draws. And Coughlin, as Coughlin said during the week, He's done it before, but he said it'll take a miracle, which he is right. It will take a miracle, but it's not impossible either, he said.
Yeah. Oh, look, fingers crossed they can have, from your side of things, that they can deliver a big couple of days there and start to make a bit of a fight. But Toby, fair play for jumping on.
Thanks, lads. Much appreciated.
Great stuff. Baz, we have a new name there that I haven't seen before, and he's been waiting there for a while. I'm looking at the crest. I think we have a Shamrock Rovers fan. Now that I've proved him, I can't actually see his first name, so he's disappeared on me. Where do we see? Is he coming up? Hello? No, maybe not. I don't know what, how I managed to do that. I don't know. If I cut you off, apologies, come back to me. And in the meantime, I would love to bring on Seagull Chat because it gives me an opportunity to talk about one of my favourite players around, Mr. Ben McCormack, who I did say at the start of the season when Bray signed him that I thought it was a potential game changer for Bray and could see them finish one or two places higher up the table. Seagull, very, very impressive result tonight.
Oh my God. I mean, is there anything more Bray Wanderers than Luke getting 1 point from the bottom three teams and then going and doing that to Cove?
Yeah. Talk to me about that hat trick goal for Ben's boys.
Well, sorry, I don't know if you see it, but
it's unbelievable.
I'll say the first two goals are he's in the right place at the right time, which, you know, credit to him. But the third one, to have the balls to do that after 38 minutes.
It was ridiculous.
Unbelievable. That's the first time this season after what in our 15th game we scored more than two goals in a match.
Really, yeah.
Yeah. So to do that, but I will say, as much as the fanfare over him, the real game changer was John Billy Sessai. So if you don't know him, when he had just turned 18 years old, and we signed him from the Sierra Leone Premier Division.
How the hell does that come about?
I have no idea, but one of the members of the ownership is a guy called Jonathan Goldstein, who has his own sort of player agency. So that's where we presume that came.
Okay. He's good, I take it.
Okay. Well, so here's the thing. So he had barely. I'm getting bad echo off of someone. It's gone now. But so we signed him. He had just turned 18, and he really struggled to get acquainted to life in Ireland, both personally and also on the pitch. He was usually on the bench, but he never actually got a minute of league game time until the game against Hearts on Monday. In which he was very good, but it was pretty easy to appear very good. Tonight he was unbelievable, and he actually makes, again, I've called in multiple times talking about the front three system that Paul Heffernan has decided to play this season. He actually makes it work because he plays in a defensive mid role. But he reminds me of N'Golo Kanté. Because he seems to play in about four different positions at once with unlimited stamina, and he has absolutely no sort of self-concern when it comes to making tackles. He will smash people over to get that ball.
You're selling this fella well to me. This is a fella I want to see. Now I'm going to go back.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But with how much he's struggled to fit into life in Ireland, when he scored tonight, the entire 11 ran after him, and he went to the bench for a big hug. It was one of the most wholesome moments I've seen at the Carlisle, because he's struggled to fit in. He's 18. He's moved halfway across the world. He has no family here or anything, but he's put the work in, and honestly, he's literally changed the game tonight, because he gives both Ben McCormack and Kian Doyle space to actually support the front three. Which the front three haven't had any support so far this season. So, listen, again, tonight we were hoping for something, because and what's funny is for 2 years in a row we've hit rock bottom against Finn Harps away before playing Cove at home and potentially turning things around. So we'll see next week when we play UCD. But honestly, tonight. For the first time for across the 90 minutes, not just one half or one set of 30 minutes, everything that Paul Heffernan set us out to do actually worked.
Brilliant, yeah. Because I'm just looking at your results here. It probably had gone under the radar on me, to be honest with you, that you dropped off that much. I mean, I'm just looking here. It was seven without a win before tonight. I hadn't realised it had been that much of a struggle.
Yes, seven without a win, and that included a trip up to Finn Harps, who hadn't won in eight when they played us, or we couldn't hold a 2-1 lead against 10 men of Treaty when they, before Monday, didn't only had one win, only had one win in 12. So listen, we were hopeless, and there were some screws being turned on Paul Heffernan because he had absolutely refused to change anything, which was weird because he had, in the past 2 years, the reason why fans have liked him so much is because he's always changed when he needed to. But tonight, again, he's stuck with the front three and he's stuck with most of his usual players. But he's, in fairness to him, he's moved Achara onto the wing instead of playing him in the centre, which really suits him very, very well. Because he's fantastic at laying the ball off. But also throwing in Sessai when he hadn't played any of a single minute after 13 games took courage from him, and it's paid off very well. I will say though, if despite the 5-0 win, it probably could have been 6 or 7-1. But Mark Patchell, well, listen, you're not supposed to swear on the show, but honestly, It's genuinely impressive to get every single decision that you should get right wrong, and that's including by League of Ireland standards. But
we're not really getting people giving out about referees when they've been on the wrong. Jesus Christ, win a game 5-1 and you're still giving out about referees.
Yeah. Oh no, absolutely. I mean, Tyreek Sammy had his hamstring bruised by the Cove goalkeeper. I can't remember his name, but Timo Martin, yeah. Had his knee bruised because he took him out in midair in the third minute. And Tyreek Sammy got a yellow card. So, and then just to make things better, we got a totally bullshit penalty in the 80th minute. I mean, I don't know who it came off for Cove, but you cannot tuck your arms further into your stomach. And we still got a penalty. So
at least you're admitting to your benefit from it a little bit. Come here, before I let you go, just the first division in general, Siegel, because you're one of the few first division callers we get. I mean, I was pitching this as a 5-4 don't go. And in terms of the team in the hunt, it now looks as though UCD have kind of pulled away from the rest. But what's made it really interesting, Siegel, is Longford and Finn Harps, who I had wrote off, now appear to be right back in the picture. There is 3 points between yourselves in fifth and Finn Harps in eighth. So we've got Bray on 20, Bray in fifth on 20, Cove in sixth on 19, Longford in seventh on 18, and Finn Harps in eighth on 17. This is a lot going to be extremely tight.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's good for the division because, I mean, for the past 3-4 years, almost every season, the team that's come first has come first by, 10 points, and then the team that's come fifth in the last playoff spot has done that by about 10 points ahead of the team that's come sixth. So it seems, I mean, Cork will probably win it, even if they don't impress anyone by doing it. But it seems at least it's going to be competitive until the last match or so, and the exact same for the fifth spot. I mean, again, if Bray played like tonight, then it'll be between Cove and the two you mentioned, Longford and Harps. But if Bray are as unpredictable as we've been over the past month or 2 months, then it'll be open season. Because, I mean, the problem is, and they mentioned it on Between the Stripes a few times, the worst teams from last year in the first division have all gotten better, and the best teams from the first division have all gotten a bit worse. So they all seem to be cancelling out each other more or less over. I mean, at this time last year, you almost knew who was going to be in the playoffs and who wasn't. Whereas this year, you've no idea. Which is good for the league, but obviously, as a Bray fan, I prefer to be home and dry. But again, it's good for the league for it to be competitive, and also it's good because it means that the four teams that do get to the playoffs it'll be a fairly even matchup between those four. And of course, but most importantly, that the battle for top spot isn't, you know, done and dusted halfway through the season. And Cork, again, they deserve credit tonight for overcoming a UCD squad side who's been very good, but it doesn't seem like they'll be the incumbent champions as Dundalk seemingly were the entire last season.
For sure. No, look, it's shaping up to be a fantastic division. Seagull, fair play for jumping on.
Cheers, lads. And just one quick thing, lads. Don't be afraid to ignore me if anyone else from the first division calls up. Definitely go. Because again, we need, especially with the third divisions coming in, the first division's going to need more representatives. And I've always wanted more people from the first division to call in, you know, to talk about their clubs, especially from the quote-unquote resident first division teams, which have been there for a few seasons. So, you know, I know there was a lad who's his name, he does the Wexford socials, but he's tried to call a few times, for example. And you know, definitely keep an eye out for other first division teams, especially, you know, the teams that only have been mid-table for the past few years, but have a good chance of making the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Anyway, cheers, lads.
Sure. Seagull, fair play. Thanks a million. Super stuff. Cheers. Super stuff.
And to yourselves.
I love the way he said our resident First Division fans. I'm looking at Keane, who has a request to speak in, but Keane's a Cork City fan, so as far as Seagull is concerned, he doesn't count, I think. But I'll be
wrestling yo-yos, maybe.
Before I get to Keane, the guy I was an issue trying to get in, Jason, I do see him still there in the speakers. Can you hear me, Jason?
I can hear you there, Shane. Yes, sorry about that. The screen was went blank there. No problem.
Jason, you're a Rovers fan, I think, are you?
I am indeed, yeah. Great stuff today. It was great for us to get 9 points in a row the last three games. I know people keep saying, and Johnny Ward is the most, you know, notorious for saying, oh, the league is over, hand Rovers the league. I don't think we can say that just now, but we're very, very comfortable tonight. I think Pats are going to give us a run for the money. You know, it's probably not a one-horse race, but we're probably getting near the stage where you could say it's a two-horse race. Like, if Dundalk and Bowes had finished 1-1 tonight, it would have been a right gap between, you know, ourselves, Pats, and third place. But people are saying Pats are in Europe, are not in Europe, sorry, and that might give them a better chance. But we tend to kick on when the European games come around. And what we'll be telling, I think, in the league title races, we'll be playing games ahead of Pats because the four European teams will be playing Monday night games, in the coming weeks where Pats don't play. And, you know, the results then, obviously they'd be tough games. I think we got Bowes away and Derry at home during that period. But I think those games, if we can build up a lead, you know, it could be telling at that point.
Yeah, I think that makes sense for sure. Barry, you look at it at the moment and I think Jace makes a good point. Like, you're looking at six-point gap between second and third and you know, it's that third obviously is a Bowes team that have been stuttering. I mean, to be honest with you, Barry, it's absolutely remarkable that Bowes only dropped down to third, considering the length of time that they went without a win. It shows how much everybody else has beaten everybody. But do you think can you see Pats and Rovers separating themselves from the rest over the next month or two?
Yeah, I can, especially the way, as Jason said, with the fixtures coming up, I think Rovers look to get the points on the board before those European fixtures. They'll go all out to try and get them on the board. It's just, you just do look at it, you do see a separation and from the up to kind of Dundalk, and you expect Derry to hit form at some stage, a regular sort of form, and Shells to come back into it as well. So, I don't know, you're kind of looking at the top two and then maybe the third and fourth place is up for grabs then from any of four or five teams there. But I just see the way Rovers are going about their games. They just look so comfortable at home. Those three derby wins in a row as well. You think they're big games. Can they go and get the result? And then they go and do that. They go and dispatch then of Waterford and Drogheda at home. Teams that are causing other teams problems away from home. And they just look comfortable. Now, Pats look excellent tonight, and they've done that. They've shown in some games they've been absolutely excellent, and then they go the next week and get a draw, and then suddenly there's another 2-point gap between them and Rovers. Can they keep up some sort of consistency there? They're going to need to, because I don't see Rovers dropping too many points.
That's the point here though, Jason, isn't it? Like, when Pats are at it, they look pretty much nearly as good as when Rovers look when Rovers are at it. But like Rovers throwing a bad performance, maybe I don't know what, 1-6 maybe. Whereas for Pats, that those little dips seem to be a bit more frequent. It's the consistency that Rovers have that just puts you that much, you know, gives people more faith in you probably than Pats.
Well, Pats are, you know, the free scoring, they're putting 3-4 goals past teams every week, you know. I know we did against Drogheda last week, so I don't think they're going to go away. The funny thing about it is that, and I'm not trying to boast or be cocky, that Pats are the closest team to us. We beat Pats twice this year. Now, the scoreline suggested they were close victories, but there are probably two games that we hardly even got out of second gear to win those two games, you know. So that's kind of telling as well, but we're going to, I think, Rovers as well. You mentioned Pico. Fair play to the Shells fan earlier, saying, you know, wishing Pico the best. I don't think we'll probably see Pico between now and the World Cup. I think he'll be wrapped in cotton wool, and he deserves a chance to go away. If he has a tight hamstring, I don't think he's going to be risked. He's probably going to go away, excuse me, in a training camp with Cape Verde in the next couple of weeks, anyway, 2 or 3 weeks. So probably only another couple of games between that. But he'll be a huge miss because, you know, as you mentioned earlier, saying about the players that stepped in. Sabawadi, who's been absolutely excellent. I'll tell you, St. Mirren must have some defenders if he couldn't get in the team. You know, Sabawadi, Lee Grace, and Dan. But there's nobody like Pico for keeping our defence together. So I think you might see a centre half come in as well in the window. And I think Michael Noonan might go away as well in the summer, which, and I think we may well be down in the market for centre forward. If we can get a centre forward that can score regular. I know we tried to get Johnny Maguire to start the season. There's rumours of Flabby, and he got injured. With his Belgian club, but I think what happens in the transfer market in July could be telling as well.
You would think that they could, as strong and all as the squad is, you could see them come back in, could you?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. And if Michael doesn't go in the summer, we're not going to get a penny from him. He can leave for free at the end of the season. So I think for that reason, I think he will be sold. And the best of luck to him. Brilliant goal again tonight. If you've seen the goal, it was excellent. I know he's probably suffering a little bit of a second season syndrome this year. It happens to 17-year-olds, but he's going to be a top player, you know. And it's great to see players like him and Victor again. I know Ed mentioned earlier about how he set up the goal earlier today. He just turned around and he did a back heel in the middle of the pitch. It looked like he was losing the ball, took two players over and just drove forward, and Rovers scored 10 seconds later. The likes of him, it's great. And that's the one good thing about, I won't keep on too much longer, the Brexit rules have come in. We can see players like him. We've seen Mason Melia. We've seen Victor and Michael Noonan. We're probably going to see Sam Rooney at Pats coming through as well. It's great that we're getting the opportunity to see these lads rather than signing for English clubs, you know, when they're 15 or 16. I think it's great for the league.
Couldn't agree more. It's massive for them as well, Jason, because it allows them to build a relationship with the Irish football public before they disappear out of eyeline for us. So I think it's a win-win. And I've heard the argument that they need to go to England, that if they're not going at 16, they're missing out on 2 years development of proper coaching. But I don't know. No, I'd struggle for anybody to try and convince me that Mason Melia would be better off at Spurs playing, I don't know, under 17 games or Premier League 2 games or that than what he was doing at Pats. So I think it serves his development far, far more to go the route he's going. And likewise for Victor and Michael and all of those players. And like I say, it allows them to build a relationship with the Irish football public. That means we'll have all the more eyes on them when they go across the water and be wishing them well, you know.
Oh, definitely. 100% Shane, yep.
No, Jason, Jen, for jumping on. Fair play.
No problem. Thank you.
Cheers, stuff. We will go one last call here, Baz, because he has been waiting a while. And Cian, who, if I remember, is a Cork City fan. Is that right, Cian?
Yeah, how do things, Shane?
Not too bad at all. Cian, you're in better form now than you would have been if we were talking to you Monday night.
Wait, it's Monday, yeah. I tried to get on last Friday after the Cove game, but there was something going on with it. I kept going on
that's
and off.
Right. Yeah.
It's good to see they had their... It's good to see they had their celebrations and they had their cup final and they show it tonight. There's a picture going around in socials of three Cove lads with their right arm strapped, whatever that's about. It's good to give them their day out.
Good. Were you watching tonight's game?
Yeah, Jesus, we're bloody awful.
What?
We're so bad. And this division.
I like this UCD team. You must have been good tonight to beat them.
Oh, this division is so bad. Like, can it be 27 yet? But like... Like we did that, we got a penalty. Same as the Bray game, actually, that I was on about there. That the referee in our game, can't remember who the referee, but he was shocking as well. That probably wasn't a penalty. Like, then Shawnee misses it. Second penalty he missed the season. And hands tapped it in.
Yeah, he was probably tapping it in himself, in fairness. We were there before, didn't he?
Yeah, we probably got a lucky break there early in the game to go one up, like. It's a hard watch. It's Jesus bad. Like that squad will go straight back down.
Even we hope, obviously, if you go up, that they do freshen up in it.
Yeah, but the thing is, you can't change 11 players. Like, you know,
positivity down in Cork at all.
It's just, I don't know where we're going, or. Even lose them two games, Friday Monday, that's awful for us, losing Cove at home, the first ever league win at Turner's Cross, and then going out to Kerry and losing.
Yeah, no, listen, that there's no doubt about it. I mean, we were talking about whether Cork could go an entire season unbeaten, such was kind of the ease at which they seem to be tipping away. But no, as weekends go, that is about as bad as it got. But listen, you're still going to go and win the league. You're still going to
Back
up in the Premier.
Yeah, I'm fairly negative, and I hear your man Seagull going on about us not being champions in comments, and I'm just rolling my eyes going, what's he on about?
Because
the closest team to us in UCD, and we're, you know, we have to play them home and away, beat them. They're, like, after that, it's Wexford, they're not touching us. Like, the only thing I'd worry is the only probably fairly looks good at like the moment it's hand, but I fear that that's another Jack Darcy situation where he's probably a top first division player, but you go Premier then and you're at the bottom of the table and they don't have that luxury of being free.
Jack
would love there until we got to kind of the bottom of the Premier Division, bit of sulking going on, and then you're kind of, which you're probably well used to, but then that doesn't work for a relegation battling team then.
You need to define what you are, Shane, really going forward into the Premier League. Like, you look at Sligo, they have a definition about who they are. They pick up the best players who aren't playing in other teams, make them better, and they have that year on year. You look at Drogheda, hard to play against, set pieces, really good footballers in that team as well. They all have their identities. Cork just don't have an identity anytime they come up. They keep some of their better players come up, add a few academy players from clubs across the water, and it's the same rinse and repeat. It's got to be different if they come up this time. They've got to do something different to stay up.
Yeah, I think the thing we had for years that we probably don't have now anymore, we don't have anymore, is we were always very hard to beat in Turner's Cross.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably
one. I was listening to Cork City podcast during the week, and they were complaining that that the manager's been trying to squeeze three into two in terms of getting hands Keats into the one team. I see Keats is actually left out.
Yeah, you're breaking. I mean, I don't know, but yeah, I think, and Keats, I think if a very small minority of the fan base is starting to get frustrated with him, but I think a lot of people are forgetting as well, he was out for a whole season. And I think, because I don't know if he can still hear me there, but because he played a couple of minutes in the cup final, people are kind of going on as if he's back 6 months, but he's not really. He's back since the start of the season. Yeah, I think season-long injury is, they're not easy to just come back and hit the ground running.
No, 100%.
But for me, as long as he's sticking him in by October, happy days.
Yeah.
He's getting ready for next season. And we have to stick by him, because he's one of them players, I think, that you need to stick by him. He needs the confidence, he needs the arm around the shoulder. So I think we just need to stick by him.
Yeah, look, as we've said, really the next few months, now, I don't know, maybe UCD can give you a decent run for it. Maybe it won't all be a cakewalk, but it's almost impossible not to see Cork City back in the Premier Division next year. And therefore, it's really about spending the next 6-7 months getting ready for that challenge when it comes around, Keane, I would say. But listen, fair play for jumping on.
Yeah. And just one thing, just that lad again, that young lad again with us, Killian Murphy. If you haven't watched him yet, just watch him. He's fantastic. Like,
I've seen bits and pieces of him. Right? He looks absolutely, I'll tell you, I've said it here before. Like, I know, yeah, it seems to be, when the international squads comes out, it seems to be, you know, hugely Dublin orientated. But Cork City produced at least one absolutely top class young lad almost every year now for the last 4 or 5 years. And he's the latest off the conveyor belt, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's for sure. Keane, fair play for jumping on.
Yeah, bad.
Cheers, Keane.
Brilliant stuff. Barry, we may call time in it, even though we do still have one or two more. Dara, I see there. Dara, if you could jump on again next week, I promise we'll buzz you in, or we'd stay going all night here. I will give, if I can find them quick enough here, wait till I pull up the phone here on the FAI Connect, a quick overview of this coming weekend's games, or should say next weekend's games. We have Bohemians at home to Drogheda United, St. Patrick's Athletic at home to Shelburne, Waterford at home to Derry City, and Dundalk at home to Shamrock Rovers, which means, help me here, Baz, Sligo must be playing who on Saturday night? Who did I not call out there? Figure it out. I'll jump to the first division. We have Cove Ramblers at home to Athlone Town, Kerry at home to Wexford, Treaty at home to Finn Harps, and UCD at home to Bray. My FAI Connect will only go as far as Friday, so I can't actually see Saturday's results. So I'm sure nobody will be too harsh on me for that one. Baz, thanks a million for tonight.
Yeah, come on. Chat to you soon.
And thank you very, very much. I think that must be near a record for the amount of speakers we had on tonight. Absolutely super stuff. Thank you very much, everybody. Chat to you all again next week. Good luck.
Off the Ball. GAA.